This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Grain futures from Thursday on the Board of Trade finished mixed, with corn and wheat higher and soybeans lower. Corn for September was a half cent higher to 346 and a half. December wheat was a quarter cent higher to 358 and three quarters. March corn was unchanged at 371 and three quarters. September soybeans fell 12 and three quarters Thursday to 849 and three quarters. November beans were down 14 to 861 and a half. January beans were down 13 and three quarters to 875 and a half. Chicago wheat for September gained 7 and 3 quarters yesterday to 464. December wheat was up 5 and a half to 466 and a quarter. March wheat was also up 5 and a half to 472 and a half. Soybean meal for September was down 350 to 288.70. October bean meal was down 390 to 290.70. December bean meal was down $4 to 294.50. Finally, soybean oil for September was down 32 cents to 28.47. October bean oil was down 38 to 28.46. December bean oil was down 35 to 28.64. Now to recap your closing grain futures from Thursday, corn was steady to up a half cent, soybeans were down 13 to 14, Chicago wheat was up 5.5 to 8, soybean meal was down 350 to $4, soybean oil lost 32 to 38 cents. Now we'll move on and take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Thursday's Cash Grain Report.
This is Thursday's report of grain price and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois cut grain prices were mixed on Thursday afternoon, with soybeans lower on concerns over lack of demand, with an increasing South America production and no visible progress in U.S.-China trade talks. In northern western Illinois country, grain yields quoted shell corn bids 1 to 4 cents higher, 317 to 354. Soybean bids were down 16 to 17 cents at 783 to 815. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids steady to a penny lower at 334 to 359. Soybean bids were down 16 to 17 cents at $8 to 841. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were steady to up 3 cents at 299 to 374. Soybean bids were down 14 to 16 cents at 793 to 827. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 14 to 21 cents lower at 820 to 857. Basis was steady to down 7 at 4,200 to 5 under the November. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at 276.70 to 293.70 a ton, down $3.90 to $5.90 a ton, with basis unchanged to down 1 at 1,400 to 3 over the October. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were mostly steady at 359 to 376, with basis unchanged to option to 17 over the December. Illinois River barge loading elevated quoted their producer corn bids mostly steady at 326 to 359, with basis steady at 3300 to option in December. Soybeans ended down 17 to 19 cents at 812 to 819, with basis down 3 to 5 at 1500 to 4300 the November. Wheat prices were up 8 cents at 414 to 425, with basis unchanged at 1500 to 3900 the September. East St. Louis barge loading terminal is placed. Their producer corn bid steady to 3 cents higher, 341 to 345. These elevators dropped their soybean prices 14 to 19 cents, with quotations at 835 to 836. Soft wheat closed up 5 cents at 467 to 468. Milo ended the day steady at 373 to 374. Contract bids producers for October and November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 314 to 349. Soybeans at 787 to 822. In the central part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 330 to 354. Soybeans at 798 to 448. And in the southern part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at $3 to 369. And soybeans at 793 to 824. And June, July wheat at 446 to 475. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thursday's livestock futures finished mixed but mostly lower on the Mercantile Exchange. Live cattle for October were down $1.15 to $97.87. December live cattle were down $1.35 to $102.22. February live cattle were down 90 cents to $108.40. Feeder cattle for September were down $1.15 to $134.40. October feeders were down $1.10 to $132.32. November feeders down 50 cents to $131.57. Lean hogs for October were down 82 cents to $66.30. December lean hogs gained 25 cents to $65.47. February lean hogs were up 82 cents to $73.85. Now to recap Thursday's closing livestock futures. Live cattle were down 90 cents to $1.35. Feeder cattle were down 50 cents to $1.15. Lean hogs were in the range of 82 cents higher to 82 cents lower. Now we'll move on and take you back to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Thursday's Cash Livestock Report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday Afternoon Livestock Report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations are 200-pound park carcass traded $1.28 lower, in a range of $49 to $57 with a weighted average carcass price of $53.42. From the Illinois Direct Sow Port, slaughter sow price were steady with light to moderate demand for moderate to heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded 19 to 23, 4 to 5 weighted 21 to 25, 5 to 6 weighted 23 to 27, in over 600 pounds, $25 to $29. In the Illinois direct hog trade, prices of barrels and gilts country buying points were weak, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $33 to $40. Receipts for Illinois barrels and gilts a total of $22,300. In the direct cattle trade, in the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers and live bases trade at $104 to $107. In on a dress base at $160 to $170. Choice heifers and live bases trade at $107 to $108, in on address bases at $160 to $169. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was steady with 390 loads traded. Calculations for 200-pound pork carcass was $71.96, which is 90 cents lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Port, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading lower. Choice carcasses were $229.42, which is $1.23 lower, while select carcasses were $204.47, which is $4.48 lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 116,000, compared to 116,000 last week, 120,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 463,000, compared to 485,000 last week, and 474,000 one year ago. That includes our livestock report. This is David Humphreys at the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield, by Farm Credit Illinois, and by your John Deere dealer, the Sloan Implement Company. Once again, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you very much, Randy. And moving on into the latest news on the U.S.-China trade war, the U.S. and China have agreed to restart trade talks in early October in what is hoped to be a turning point in the long-running trade war between the world's two largest economies. The announcement ended weeks of speculation on whether the two nations would renew a stalled trade talk and followed China's recent statement that it wanted to de-escalate the tariff war, though new tariffs took place effective this month anyway. But agreement on renewed talks came as a welcomed news to the American Farm Bureau Federation, whose trade advisor Dave Salmonson says the U.S. farmers have lost billions of dollars in the fight.
Certainly our direct exports to China, which were in the 20-plus billion dollars just in 2017, are now certainly less than $10 billion a year and steadily going less. And, of course, we heard just less than a month ago that China was saying they wouldn't buy any more U.S. ag products.
But Beijing's top trade negotiator now plans to travel here in early October, though the U.S. side says in a statement that deputy-level meetings will take place this month, suggesting a litmus test moving forward. President Trump called negotiating with China through the World Trade Organization a disaster.
China has taken advantage of it and us and that's not happening anymore. But the farmers have been taken care of. $16 billion and $12 billion each year.
An August survey shows more than two-thirds of U.S. producers feel the market facilitation program payments have either completely or somewhat relieved their tariff concerns. Trump argues China needs to be confronted for its longstanding unfair trade practices and told reporters he personally approved a trip to Beijing last week by Republican Senators David Perdue and Steve Daines to gauge China's intentions. The Dairy Margin Coverage Program authorized in the 2018 Farm Bill has already paid $60 million to Wisconsin farmers. The new safety net replaced the Margin Protection Program for dairy this year. Sandy Chalmers, director of the Wisconsin Farm Service Agency, says the new program is popular among dairy farmers.
Congress made some significant changes, and I would call them significant improvement to the old margin protection program. And I've heard a lot from farmers who were not happy about the old MPP program. But some of the changes that were made, Congress expanded the coverage level so you can buy coverage up to where the margins have kind of been sitting. And they reduced the premiums, more coverage for less money. That sounds like a good deal to everyone. So we've had strong interest all along. We currently have about 5,300 dairy operations enrolled, and I would say we have another 300 to 500 to get in the door before the deadline.
The latest enrollment numbers indicate that 68% of dairy operations with an established production history have enrolled so far for this year across the United States. That represents more than 18,000 producers nationwide. Chalmers says enrollment in the dairy coverage program also allows for sign-up in the livestock indemnity program if needed.
Those programs don't cancel each other out. Dairy margin coverage is intended to provide a certainty when it comes to income over feed costs, and you're basically insuring that margin. You buy a level of coverage, and if the margin drops beneath the coverage level you select, a payment is triggered. Livestock indemnity is for disasters. The two programs have different purposes, and you can participate in both.
Chalmer says enrollment is an easy process for producers.
It's very easy. There are certain decisions you have to make. You have to decide on the level of coverage, whether you want to make an annual coverage election or lock in your coverage decision for 5 years. And remember that 5-year lock-in also gives you a 25% discount on your premiums. So I think some of the remaining producers who haven't signed up yet are watching the futures very, very carefully and weighing that decision between the annual coverage decision and the 5-year lock-in.
The sign-up deadline is 2 weeks from today on September 20th. Also in news from the Department of Agriculture, the USDA this week opened enrollment for the Agriculture Risk Coverage and Price Loss Coverage programs. Agriculture Risk Coverage, known as ARC, provides income support payments on historical base acreage when actual crop revenue declines below a specified guaranteed level. Price Loss Coverage, known as PLC, provides income support payments on historical base acreage when the price for a covered commodity falls below its effective reference price. Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue called the programs the bedrock of the farm safety net for crop farmers. Updated provisions in the 2018 Farm Bill allow producers with an interest in a farm to enroll and elect coverage in a crop-by-crop ARC County or PLC, or an ARC individual for the entire farm for program year 2019. For crop years 2021 through 2023, producers will have an opportunity to make new elections. Farm owners cannot enroll in either program unless they have a share of interest in the farm. Interested producers must sign up for either program by March 15th of next year. Moving on in other national news, it's this time every year that people begin to look for the latest edition of the Old Farmer's Almanac, which is chock full of information for not only agriculturalists, but just about anyone. Janice Stillman is the 13th editor of the Vulnerable Annual Publication and says last year's 80% accurate long-range weather forecast was no fluke.
We use solar science, which is the study of the activity on the sun, in particular the sunspots. We use climatology, which is the study of prevailing conditions over long periods of time. So basically that means we consider what happened on the sun in past years and decades and centuries, see what it's doing now, and see what we can expect. And we use the study of the ocean temperatures, the jet streams, and various other factors that folks hear on the 6 and 11 o'clock news say. But we also consider that we're hearing more and more about global warming these days, and we do work that into our forecast. And that's one of the reasons why we're predicting above normal temperatures across much of the country.
In addition to the almanac's uncanny weather predicting, there are dozens of other uses.
Of course, the Old Farmer's Almanac is a calendar of the heavens, because it forecasts all of the astronomical events throughout the year, from the moon phases to the meteor showers, planetary conjunctions to length of day, so important to people today, for example, as you see the days getting shorter and the sun rising later in the day, and also the star transit, twilight times, and so many more things. It's a calendar of events. As you say, planning is a big part of people's lives, and the Old Farmer's Almanac is all about time.
And Stillman says people have come to expect the traditional look of the almanac, but with an up-to-the-minute content.
But everything that you find between the covers is very modern and contemporary, from the recipes to the tips and the home remedies and metric conversions and mind manglers and contests and things.
Again, that was Janice Stillman, editor of the Old Farmer's Almanac, which has been published continuously since 1792. It's available at newsstands and at almanac.com. Moving on into state ag news, the Illinois Pork Producers Association is recruiting for the 2020 State Ambassador Internship. This individual will serve as a representative of the association and the pork industry during the upcoming year. The chosen individual will hold the title of State Ambassador for a full year and will work from the Springfield office during the summer of 2020. Main duties of the intern include managing the birthing center during the Illinois State Fair, presenting about pork at the summer ag institutes across the state, and various other tasks. The internship is education and communication focused. Qualified candidates are between the ages of 18 and 23. You must be 18 by January 1st of next year and have the interest in the pork industry. Strong communication and leadership skills are desired. Those who have previously attended the Illinois Livestock Leadership Institute are highly encouraged to apply. Applications are available online at ilpork.com and are due on October 31st. You can turn in the application and all requirements to Jenny Jackson at her email, jenny@ilpork.com, or you can physically mail the application to the IPPA office, Attention Jenny. For questions, you can contact Jenny Jackson at 217-529-3100. First-year Illinois Department of Agriculture Director John Sullivan serving on the Broadband Advisory Council. Specifically, he is in charge with a working group detailing with the right-of-way access issues.
So the Broadband Advisory Council has broken up into several working groups, and one of those working groups is an access issue, which kind of a right-of-way access issue that I'm actually chairing that working group discussion. And and really what the issue is not on a state highway, but really on a township and or a county road where a landowner basically owns to the center of the road. There's a access right of way across their property, and what should or how should a utility company be able to access that right of way to lay, for example, a fiber optic cable or hang a cable, string a cable on power poles along that right
of
way.
Sullivan was part of an audience with U.S. Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue last week at the Farm Progress Show, which included state ag directors from Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, and Missouri. Among the topics was improving rural broadband access. In other state ag news, Call before you dig. It's the law. Ameren, Illinois, and a large coalition of other groups want farmers and all landowners to dial 811 before doing something as simple as driving a stake into the ground. Gina Taylor with Ameren says for farmers, regular farming practices like plowing are okay, but if you're starting a new tillage project, then you need to call before something tragic could happen.
And once they call 811, actually a pipeline representative will meet with them and kind of work through and show them where those pipelines are at so they can work together so they can be safe. Because if they would hit that pipeline and it ignited, it's going to wipe out an area that's about 550 feet all the way around it if it was a transmission line. You're not going to survive that.
The call and service is free, and it's also the law. Taylor says that if you would survive a pipeline hit, you're going to have to pay for the damage that was done. Moving on into local ag news, the annual Montgomery County Corn Yield Survey took place yesterday. Many volunteers, mostly farmers from around the county, split up into groups and volunteered their morning to take samples from the 19 townships of Montgomery County. U of I Extension Coordinator Amanda Cole coordinated the event, along with sponsorships from the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, the First National Bank of Litchfield, the Security National Bank of Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore, and Montgomery Land Improvement Incorporated. Following the survey, lunch was held at the Extension office in Hillsboro, and state statistician Mark Sloysener from the Office of USDA NASS in Springfield was there also for a presentation. One change this year is the number of kernels per bushel. The general consensus among the group was to increase the amount to 85,000 kernels per bushel due to smaller kernel size and a smaller ear size as well this year. Last year, the number of kernels per bushel was 80,000. Overall, the average corn yield for Montgomery County came in at 187.5 bushels to the acre. The highest yield in a single township was in Bodark Township at 215 bushels to the acre. Other townships coming in at over 200 bushels were Pittman at 205 and Butler Grove at 203. The lowest yield in a single township was Washville Township at 168 bushels to the acre. And you can find the full report and full results on our website at WSMIRadio.com. Moving on into local events coming up tomorrow and this weekend, the Illinois Department of Natural Resources will be conducting a drawing tomorrow morning at 10 at the Coffeen Lake State Fish and Wildlife Area for three youth to hunt deer during the 2019 Illinois Youth Firearm Deer Season on the weekend of October 12th through the 14th. The youth hunt will take place at the Coffeen Lake Upland Management Area, and participating youth must have a valid Montgomery County permit for the 2019 Illinois Youth Firearm Deer Hunt. Late entries will not be accepted, so today is your last chance to send those 3x5 postcards in. Those successful applicants in the drawing will have until September the 30th to apply for and report their Montgomery County Youth Firearm Deer Permit number to the Coffeen Lake site office. Failure to do so will result in forfeit of your spot for the youth hunt, and an alternate selection will be made for that spot. If you need more information, you're asked to contact the Ramsey Lake State Park site office at 618-423-2215. Also happening this weekend is a tradition that will continue tomorrow, and that is the 129th Montgomery County Farmers Institute that's been going on every year since 1890. To explain more on this year's event is Bob Feeney, who's been involved with organizing the County Farmers Institute for over 10 years. Here Bob explains that the Montgomery County Farmers Institute is one of the only institutes left in the state.
We've had this for the 129 years, and when it first started many years ago, the farmers used to come in with horses and buggies, and bring in their bushels of corn and oats. And at that time, I think there was about 40, the average yield per acre was about 40 to 50 bushels per acre. And each of the 102 counties in Illinois used to have a Farmers Institute similar to ours. But from what we understand, we are the only county that continues to have the Farmers Institute as we currently have it today.
Bob also touches on how the County Farmers Institute is very similar to the expo of a county fair.
It's very similar to that. Yes, it is. We have seven different classes, ag sciences, fruits and vegetables, flowers, canned goods, fancy work, culinary, and a youth division. And amongst these seven classes, there are 110 categories. And so there are many, many possibilities entering into whatever your favorite item is, whether it's cooking or whether it's growing vegetables or flowers. You have a lot of people who are quilting, a lot of excellent, beautiful quilts there every year. And we give our prizes are $10 for the first place, 5 for second, and 2 for third place. And we have three categories that we give $25 in. For that's the best harvest basket, for the best quilt, and the best cake.
And again, that was Bob Feeney, volunteer for the Montgomery County Farmers Institute, as well as the Montgomery County Master Gardener. And in other events coming up in the local area, a week from tomorrow, the Staunton FFA alumni will be sponsoring their 13th annual tractor ride next Saturday, September 14th. Registration will begin at 7 in the morning. Coffee, juice, water, and donuts will be available. The ride will leave at 8 in the morning with a quick driver's meeting before and an opening ceremony. The ride will then make a stop for refreshments along the way to Marine, where the tractors will be on display and lunch can be purchased. Orders for lunch will be taken at registration so that it will be ready upon your arrival. Passengers are also told to not ride on any part of the tractor unless in an approved buddy seat. You cannot ride on any of the fender mounts. If you have any questions about next weekend's Staunton FFA Alumni Tractor Drive, you can contact Stacy Slifka at 618-781-7435 or chapter reporter Linda Niehaus at 618-402-2710. And that just about wraps it up for this Friday morning edition of the Ag Show. But remember, if you have any ag news you'd like to have aired here on the Ag Show, you can email that to us at wsmi@wsmiradio.com. So for this Friday morning, September 6th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.